Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for meditation this morning comes from the Gospel according to St. Luke, the 13th chapter, where Jesus laments, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often I would have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing." Imagine, if you will, two churches situated across the street from one another. Both have reader board signs in their front lawn where they post their sermon series for the coming week. Just outside the church on this side stands a pastor all alone, waiting on someone to show up and hear his message series named "What God Has Said." On the other side of the street, there stands an ecstatic pastor greeting the crowds coming into his church to hear his series titled, "What You Would Rather Hear." It's a tale as old as time. Wherever God builds a church, the devil builds a chapel next door. God's first church was built to perfection, and he placed Adam and Eve in its midst to care for that church as stewards. And they were told that they could eat from any tree in the garden, all these different trees you may eat from, except the tree of knowledge of good and evil. "You shall not eat, for in the day you eat of it, surely you shall surely die." Well, it didn't take long for the devil to build his chapel. He slithered into the garden with his toolbox and built a chapel of lies. Lies that said, "Did God really say you would die? Of course you wouldn't die. Eating that fruit will make you wise, just like God. You will know good and evil." And we all know how that building project ended. Obviously, becoming like God sounds much better than dying. And with one bite of the fruit, the perfection of creation was poisoned by sin. All mankind was given the death sentence. One day, we will all return to the dust of the ground from which we were formed. But at that point, God didn't start over. He didn't tear down his church. He didn't walk away from his church. But in his great foreknowledge from before the foundation of the world, he planned to build his church on the perfect foundation, built on the one who would crush the serpent's head, reconciling the world back with the Father, winning forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation for all mankind. And while the serpent is defeated, God, in his rich wisdom, it has pleased him to allow the devil to continue building chapels and preaching not what God has said, but preaching what you would rather hear. In our Old Testament lesson this morning, the Lord God sends his spokesman, Jeremiah, to preach what he has said. He went to call the people of Judah to repentance, return to the Lord or face certain destruction. And it wasn't the message they wanted to hear. They confronted Jeremiah. They wanted to kill him. And those threats didn't deter Jeremiah. He continued to preach what God had said. He proclaimed God's law at its full sternness, telling the people to mend their ways and obey the voice of the Lord. But the people still refused to listen to what God had said. So the Lord handed them over to the Babylonian army, who destroyed them, destroyed Jerusalem and the temple. In our gospel text, we hear Jesus clashing with the Pharisees. Jesus had set his face toward Jerusalem, where he knew that he was going to suffer and die for all mankind. Just prior to our text, Jesus had warned the people that if they needed to repent, If they did not repent, they too would perish. He told them to enter the kingdom of God through the narrow door, or they would be shut out. Obviously, Jesus' word was not what they wanted to hear. The Pharisees tried to scare Jesus and chase him away, telling him that Herod was going to kill him. At first, it sounds like, well, maybe they were concerned about Jesus, but no, that's not the case. They just wanted to chase him off into a different territory, away from the people who were following them. Their words only serve their own purposes. But nevertheless, Jesus would not be diverted from his appointed path. He would continue on that divinely appointed path, accomplishing God's plan set from before the foundation of the world. The Pharisees warned of Herod. Well, Herod didn't want to hear Jesus' message either. He'd heard it all before from John the Baptist. John had accused him of adultery, so Herod had him arrested and beheaded. Yet the threats of Herod would not deter Jesus either. The Son of God had come to proclaim the gospel, to do his Father's will, and to die on the cross and rise again. And that brings us to our people today. Too many preachers shrink away from declaring the whole counsel of God's word because the people don't want to hear it. Instead of proclaiming, "Thus saith the Lord," they preach a false gospel of a God who is inclusive and accepting of all desires, lifestyles, and sins. Now, it is a great way to boost church attendance and to fund the church coffers, but it's also the perfect way to lead people astray, leading them one step closer to eternal damnation as they ignore God's truth and wander off into myths that suit their own desires. But God's law is good. You just sang that in our opening hymn. You sang, "The law of God is good and wise, and sets his will before our eyes, shows us the way of righteousness, and dooms to death when we transgress." God's law is good and wise. It's his good and gracious will for how you should live your lives. He's the creator, and you're the creation. He should know best. You should fear his wrath and not do anything against his commandments. But just as a child thinks they know better than mom and dad, the natural man believes he knows better than God. As soon as you hear the words, "You shalt do this," or "You shall not do that," you turn down the volume on God's word and turn up the volume on whatever you want to hear. It's the way it was with Jeremiah and Jesus' day. Those people were comfortable in their sin. They didn't want anyone to call them to repentance. And so too it is in our day. We too have become comfortable in our sin. So comfortable that we invite every sort of immorality and violence into our living rooms as we sit there on the couch and call it entertainment. You turn a blind eye to abortion and fornication and same-sex attraction, all while participating in filthy language, envy and greed, pride and self-indulgence. You see, our consciences have become dull to our sin. So dull that those sins appear all that more appealing. I hear it all the time. "Pastor, everyone else is doing it. What is the big deal? I'm not hurting anyone else. It's just me who's participating in it. So why are you being so strict?" You know, Pastor, you're just driving people away from God instead of being more accepting. just like the Judeans, just like the Pharisees, you'd sooner shoot the messenger than obey God's law given to Moses. All because it's contrary to culture and inconsistent with public opinion. We've allowed Satan and the world to intimidate us and convince us that it's more loving to overlook sin than it is to confront it. It's much easier to speak a word that people want to hear than to proclaim what God really says. The name Jerusalem means foundation of peace. Jerusalem was supposed to be a city of peace, and for a time it was. But then the devil came to town and built his chapel. Little by little, drip by drip, the devil spoke exactly what the people wanted to hear until they quit listening to the word of God. Jerusalem became a place of violence, a place where God's people was rejected, the place where God's message was rejected, and his spokespersons were killed. But God decided to give it one more go. He sent one last prophet, Christ Jesus, who took on the flesh of men. He came to gather all men together. He came to call all the people to repentance and then speak his holy word of absolution, forgiving them of their sins. Jesus came like a hen who wants to gather her chicks under her wings, just as a mother safeguards her children. Jesus loved them, and he longed to gather and protect them in his holy church. He longed to protect them from the assaults of the evil one. But they refused to hear his word. They refused to repent of their sins, and they rejected his love, and they nailed him to a cross, where as he was being rejected and bleeding and dying, he would lovingly pray for them, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Brothers and sisters in Christ, Christ Jesus, your Savior, still longs to gather mankind together into his one body and protect them in his church. He longs to give you his gifts that he's won for you on the cross. He longs to feed you in word and sacrament. The world still prefers the sermon title of "What You Would Rather Hear," but that sermon leads to a certain death. That sermon grounds you firmly in the citizenship of the world. But that last prophet has secured your citizenship in heaven. He has secured for you eternal life for all who believe. In his rich love and mercy, he was willing to suffer and die on a cross to save you. And he has called you blessed at the font. He has given you the one true faith at the font and the gift of the Holy Spirit. And that Spirit has called you by the gospel. That Spirit continues to enlighten you with his gifts and sanctifies you and keeps you in the true faith. This very same Spirit calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies Christ's whole Christian church and keeps that church in Christ Jesus in the true faith. It is within this church, his church, that he daily and richly forgives all your sins and the sins of all believers. And we look forward to that last day when all the dead in Christ will be given eternal life. Jesus was the final prophet. He is the final prophet who was killed in Jerusalem, but he's much more than a prophet. He's your crucified and risen Savior. And he has chosen you. He has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. He has told you that you no longer have to live as a citizenship with your citizenship in this world, because your citizenship is in heaven. Christ Jesus has promised he has gathered you as members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone. And with that gift of the Holy Spirit, you are enabled to no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by the craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, you are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. As we discussed downstairs in Bible study earlier, you no longer need fear the threats of society and culture. The evil pressures that they put upon you today to speak the words that they want to hear. You can let them do their worst because you confidently await the last day when the Lord Jesus will transform your lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him to subject all things to himself. What God has said is not always easy to hear, but you have his promise in the gospel. His gospel is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.